Oh, but I'm happy to do so, because when I found out 2 days ago I was going to do this show, I thought, what can I do real quick that's exciting and interesting? Well, I thought, trails. There is so much trail news occurring locally that we've got at least 5 topics to go over tonight. And we have some wonderful guests. One of our guests is Reese Hughes. You know Reese. He's the author of Hiking Humboldt. He's the volunteer trail steward, the Pacific Crest Trailside reader, and so many other hiking-related things. We'd hope to have Michael Kaufman of Backcountry Press and the Bigfoot Trail, and he may phone in or he may not, but you will, so that's fine. We also hope halfway through to be joined by Emily Sinkhorn, a trail planner and transportation specialist with Redwood Community Action Agency, so she'll be here too. If you would like to call in a question, you can do so. That is, if you're anywhere near a telephone. And who isn't these days? The number is 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. And if you have one of those handy telephone text machines, you can text us a question at 492-KHSU. And it's really anything to do with trails. We're going to range from the Pacific Crest Trail to the Bigfoot Trail to the Humboldt Bay Trail North to...
Maybe even somebody's favorite trail.
Exactly. And if you don't hear your trail mentioned, by all means, phone it in. Trails to me are just great. In my life, I'm in front of a computer a lot of the time, and I'm talking to, you know, a lot of people on the phone, the technocrats and police officers of our land and others, and doing interviews and chasing folks down. And there's nothing better than getting up on the trail and just putting one foot in front of the other, and thoughts enter your head that you would never formulate otherwise. I mean, there's just something about it. It's really an enlarging thing. So trails are wonderful, and we are blessed, as you know, with tons of them in and around Arcata and actually all throughout Humboldt. And that's why, I guess, that our friend Reese wrote his new book, Hiking Humboldt, which we're not going to talk about yet. What I was hoping we would talk about, Reese, is the Volunteer Trail Stewards. This is a group that Reese leads or directs or enables and facilitates, which you may have seen them on the street at some sort of trailhead, you know, maybe the one on Margaret Lane leading to the Beeth Creek Loop or somewhere near the Arcata Community Forest, maybe Fickle Hill Road. So what happens is, and there's one plan for a week from Saturday, it's the volunteerism around that everyone around here is so enthusiastic about. Folks gather, and Reese gets them all gibbered up, and they head out, and they help build trails. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the one coming up. Well, actually, why don't you just tell us about the experience generically? So,
all right.
Yeah.
The last 5 years, we've been doing the Trail Stewards program. It's been at a number of locations from Hammond Trail, which is the first Saturday of every month. The Hikshari Trail is the second Saturday of every month.
And Hikshari, where is that?
And Hikshari is in south part of Eureka, from Elk River for a mile and a half to the north.
And the Hammond, of course, is going through McKinley River.
Yes. And then there's Freshwater Farms, which is actually the next opportunity to be a volunteer. And that's the third Sunday of each month. And that will be this coming Sunday, the 21st. And Freshwater Farms is located near Three Corner Market, and that will be 9 to 12. Kerry McNamee of the North Coast Regional Land Trust is the contact person for that, and if you have an interest, you can reach her at 822-2242. And then the fourth Saturday of each month, the Community Forest, and that's my own personal favorite. We meet 9 o'clock this coming 27th of May. Week from Saturday. We'll be meeting at the east end of 14th Street, the parking lot there near that entrance to the Community Forest. And we start at 9 o'clock. On this particular day, we are going to be spreading out and covering the entire trail network in the Community Forest and doing some sort of spring cleaning.
That's a big...
So we'll divide up into groups. Uh-huh. We'll be going out and cleaning the bridges, cleaning the trails, sort of doing some general maintenance. It's been a hard winter on trails in Humboldt County, so it'll be a great opportunity. And then we finish with lunch, and we provide lunch, and you've earned it by that point. You don't have to bring any equipment, although we will provide gloves. We provide all the equipment, and we just need your eager participation.
Now, what if I'm old and feeble and shy, which I am?
Well, I'll be the first to say that many of our best volunteers look a lot like you and me, Kevin. They're handsome, but older. And we have lots of people who are part of the RSVP program, sort of 55 and over, but we also have students come. We have people.
That's what I love about
ages.
It. It's all ages.
All ages.
Yeah, it's way all ages. Yeah. It's not just that a name. When you go there, you're going to see college students, you're going to see retired folks, and everything in between.
And you work hard, but there's a choice of activities.
Yeah, so. And there's something that's suited to your skill set and ability.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you do everything from you brush the trails, you pick up litter.
Right.
Sometimes
we've been building trail.
Yeah.
And we work closely with in the case of the community forest, we built trail in the Sunny Bray Forest.
With cooperation with Dennis Houghton of the city.
Exactly.
And other city personnel.
And we've built trail along the South Fork of James Creek, the new Arcata Ridge Trail. We've done some trail modifications throughout the community forest. So there's trail building, trail maintenance. There's monitoring of the trail. If there's a tree down, I get calls or an email from people that spot a down tree or a hazard of some sort, and I can call it in to the city. Graffiti removal, the Hammond, we do a lot of graffiti removal and trash pickup and basic maintenance, weed whacking and that kind of stuff.
What we can't really convey over the radio is the fun, the esprit de corps of being part of this mob of people. You get into a groove and there's a rhythm to it, and everybody's doing something. Maybe they're carrying things, or maybe they're just brushing things. It's just fantastic. What's really great is when you're walking along in the forest and you're kind of on your own, you might see one or two other people, but all of a sudden you come across this group of 30, 40, 50 people, and it's like, wow, and you can really tell where the trail's been worked on and fixed up.
It's fun to walk through the community forest because you see the ways that you've touched and improved things, and I see a lot of other trail stewards up there who've really adopted a real paternal or maternal feeling about the trails in the forest and really take care of them. I ought to also mention the Hikshari has a little bit of a different mission in that they've done a lot of work in terms of exotic species removal and planting of native species. And Wanda Naylor and Keith McLaughlin and that crew have done a wonderful job of really doing a lot of restoration work to the vegetation around that particular trail.
You know, if you're planning a big hike on one of the big shot trails like the PCT, which we have both been on, you've done the entire thing on the installment plan.
Uh-huh.
I just did my first installment last year, about 170 miles, and I'm totally addicted. I mean, there's so much about that you just can't quit it once you've done it. But there's others, too. There's the CDT and, of course, the Appalachian Trail and many, many other big trails. But these local trails are a wonderful place to train.
Absolutely.
For that.
There are so many wonderful local trails, not only trails.
If only somebody would write a book, maybe.
You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think it's one that occurred to some folks. You were going to say, though.
I was just going to say that there are not only the wonderful trails locally to walk, but in Humboldt County, there are 1,300 miles of public roads. And in many of the cases, those are some of the best walks that you can imagine because they really give you safe access to a lot of the really remote and wonderful areas of this amazing county of ours.
You know, as much as you think you know Humboldt, or as much as I think I know Arcata, every single day I find out something new about Arcata, some new place, some new person, some new historical fact, and these trails are just a wonderful way to discover the unknown Humboldt and Arcata. 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911, or text your questions and comments to 492-KHSU. So, Reese, we're joking, but you do have a new book out through Backcountry Press.
I do.
And what a wonderful book it is. I wrote a review this week. It's on the Mad River Union's website and in the paper.
Everyone should read that review.
Yeah.
Including my mother.
I liked it. I liked your book. And the reason I liked it was because your book is so extraordinarily well thought out and well done. I consulted a lot of, similar sorts of guidebooks for the PCT last year, and some were, well, let's just say they're of varying usefulness and utility and quality. And yours is like, seems to have learned every lesson. I mean, the maps are exquisite. They actually apply to the text that's being discussed on the facing page. They're very readable. They have everything you need and not a lot of crap you don't need. And there's little sidebars that kind of expand on things. And there's just gorgeously descriptive text. And I looked through this thing and there were just so many new trails I'd never heard of. And, you know, your book, too, I'm going to be doing all the talking.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Your book isn't just about forest trails. I mean, there's town.
Right.
That's
right.
What I found in the PCT is you have road walks.
Right.
You have town walks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's – so maybe you could tell us a little bit of some variations, some of the variegated sorts of trails that are covered in your book. You have 101 – the name of the book, by the way, is Hiking Humboldt, Volume 2, 101 Shorter Day Hikes, Urban and Road Walks by Reese Hughes, with exquisite maps by cartographer Jason Barnes. But I don't know, maybe you could give us a little sample.
I'll give you a little overview.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I had a struggle to limit it to 101, because
wow.
I think I could have done 150. But Jason and Michael Kaufman, Backcountry Press, sort of encouraged some limits on that. But they fall in a number of categories, and I think that it's worth remembering what a glorious place we have to walk, as Kevin has said. They're road walks, like I mentioned, places that you've probably never heard of. Most Humboldt County residents have never heard of, like the Redwood House Road or the Mountain View Road or the Bear River Road, which is one of my personal favorites. Pool Road, Fort Seward Road, all are magnificent walks, and a lot of them are wonderful right now because the wildflowers are stunning. So that's one set of walks. The urban walks in Arcata, Eureka, Ferndale, even Fortuna have some wonderful architectural walks, walks through neighborhoods, even a walk through downtown Eureka around the murals that exist in that area. So there are urban walks. Then there are new trails, like we talked about at Lax Creek and South Fork of Janes Creek and Beef Creek Loop Trail.
Oh, yeah. My
and
favorite.
Many others, freshwater farms, as I'd sort of alluded to earlier. And then old favorites, trails like out on the Samoa Peninsula is one of set of my favorite trails, and in the community forest, the state parks and the national parks. So, you know, there's a little bit of something for everyone, and you can sort of pick the level of your own interests and discover some new areas, whether it's the old railroad tunnel at Lolita or take the ambitious walk clear out to the far end of our county in the Lassics and really discover that part of the county.
And you can pick a hike that lasts a couple hours or an hour, and you can pick an all-day deal.
Exactly.
And go.
Yeah.
I'd like to grab a sandwich and some sort of beverage and a book or something and just go up there and hike as long as I want and maybe come back when I feel like it. Or,
mm-hmm.
But, you can hike many miles just in Arcata and never see the same thing twice. And what's really great about it is we can get in kind of a twist about local politics and issues and Facebook or whatever, or good God help us, the national political scene. But when you get out there, you know, it really gives you a perspective on what's real, what's important, and, you know, what isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for walking, you don't need any special skills.
Right.
You don't need any special equipment. You can choose the length of time that you have and pick a walk that works that way. You can walk out of your For most of us, we can walk out of our front door and have a nice walk.
And it really helps. It's good calorie expenditure, too, without a lot of weightlifting. It's like everybody that hikes the Pacific Crest Trail, 3 weeks, you're Ironman. just are. I mean, it just happens.
Or broken down, one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. Just all my advice is get the right shoes.
Yeah.
That's what I went wrong last year was, but get the right shoes, you know, try them out and get some help from the shoe store person and get good insoles too. And everything else will kind of take care of itself. No, not really, but that's the main thing. 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911, or text your questions and comments to 492-KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. We're talking trails with Reese Hughes, who's author of Hiking Humboldt. I just wanted to revisit volunteer trail stewards because I meant to mention something. If you do go out and work for a couple hours, if you stick through till, was it like noon or one?
Yep.
You get a wonderful lunch.
That's for the Arcata crew.
For the Arcata crew. Okay. Uh-huh. And that's why you want to volunteer at Arcata for starters. Because Maureen McGarry of RSVP, one of the most enchanting things about working on the trails up there is that there's a burrito buffet in the middle of the freaking forest. I remember I was coming back from taking pictures of one of your events for the paper, and some college kids were stumbling, and I go, do you know what you're going to find when you round that bend? They're like, what? Is it a bear? Or what? I go, there's actually a burrito bar. They're like, no, you're kidding me. I'm not kidding you. It's enjoy a burrito anyway. But I just love that. There's this little pocket of civilization in the middle of nowhere. Volunteer trail stewards. Yeah, we publish the schedules. And you guys have a Facebook page or something or a website?
Well, we do, but it's sort of in process. So I'm not sure I want to even suggest that people look at it at this point. But we've used www.humtrails.com. But just keep your eye open because we try to post it in public service announcements. Yeah.
So I guess we can hopscotch back now to what were we talking about? Oh, your book. Like I say, this is hiking locally will give you a taste for it, or maybe you'll decide you hate it and you don't want to do it at all, but chances are you won't. And you'll love it and want to do your eyes may be bigger than your feet, and you'll say, I'm going to go hike the California section of the PCT, 1,626 miles, and you'll end up doing 170. Well, that was me, 170. But I'm going to go back this fall. I'm going to go back next year.
2,650 miles.
That's the full one.
You're talking the California.
I'm just talking California. Yeah. That was my ambition. Mm-hmm. And I'll do more. I want to revisit some of the parts that I did when my feet were killing me. I came down with plantar fasciitis because I wasn't careful about my footwear in the initial section, and it was very grievous. By the time I got to Mount Laguna, I had to get a motel room there. And literally 3 days, which I really wanted to be hiking, and I was literally crawling from the bed to the bathroom to the TV because my feet were all inflamed, which I didn't know how bad they were until I got a sonogram when I got back to the Bay Area. But don't do like I did. Anyway, I got some really good therapy, and my feet were cured. When I went back and did a bunch of miles in the Sierras later in the summer last year, no hint of plantar fasciitis. It was gone. Because I had, for me, and what's also interesting to me is how different hiking things can be for different people. Like trail runners are the shoes. I mean, everybody runs ultra lightweight. I need boots, okay? Yeah, you have boots. I have boots too. And then I went back to what worked for me in the 90s, which was boots and really good insoles and the double sock system.
Yes.
I had been going, on the modern thing, but it didn't work for me. But other people, it worked great for them. And so,
as long as we're talking about foot maintenance, foot care, my suggestion is two things. One is that it's the biggest thing that you must avoid is the sweat on your feet, damp feet. And so the two sock system, what I do is I rotate socks. I always have dry socks. So I carry an extra ball of socks. And whenever we take a break, and this works for local walks too, take a break, change your socks, and put on dry socks. Because damp feet, wet socks, that's one of the biggest challenges. The second piece of advice, and some of you purists will poo-poo this, but I'm now a big convert to walking poles.
Oh, yeah.
And hiking poles are something that do a lot to preserve the health of your feet.
Sure. What we're talking about is trekking poles. There are a lot of different brands available.
Yeah.
I've got some super lightweight Leckie ones, but there are a lot of good brands,
yes.
Black Diamond and others.
Right.
And I found those incredibly valuable in shifting some of the burden of hiking, especially uphill, to the upper body, which helps build your upper body, but it also distributes, I think, at least 15% of the stuff to your upper body. Also, they're incredibly useful for stabilizing yourself on stream crossings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found. Because I am really bad at all that stuff. I mean, you know, cliffy things I hate. When the trail gets really rocky, it's tough. I need those. And stream crossings, when the rocks are all slippery and slimy, mm-hmm. I totally needed those because I didn't want to, you know, take a header into the creek, and I managed to avoid that. But I found them incredibly valuable.
I agree.
Yeah, and you can, you know, depending on what kind of tent system you get, some people actually, the really minimalists, will just take a tarp and use their trekking poles to prop up the tarp.
That's too minimal for me.
Yeah. I met up when I was at the base of Mount Whitney. I met an ultra, ultra minimalist guy. Now, here's a young guy who's like 27. He could have probably carried twice as much stuff as me. He was going ultra light. He actually admitted he was a little cold the previous night because they take so little. But that's one philosophical way to go. You'll meet people with 70-pound packs who take every freaking thing they can. And then you'll meet people with 14-pound packs who take everything ultra minimal. But on those serious trails, almost everything you take has to have two purposes, you know. Mm-hmm. So your tent can also be your poncho and so on.
I've made a very pragmatic decision that some weight is just worth carrying. And I've tried using a tarp, and I decided that a tent was my preference. Mosquitoes are one of those things that bothered me with tarp. And even though I had a head net, they still kept me awake for hours.
I remember when I went above, I went to Soldier Lake. It's off the PCT. Uh-huh. And so you go Cottonwood Pass, and then you go up to New Army Pass, and then up to Soldier Lake. I had met some people, and I was going to meet them at Soldier Lake. And they use this term in some of the things you'll read about clouds of mosquitoes, which I thought was a euphemism. No. Uh-huh. Clouds, uh-huh. And especially when it's like near sunset, and you know the sun is cutting through, and you're looking kind of into the sun through some trees, you literally see clouds. There were so many mosquitoes at Soldier Lake, and these two fishermen came up and were like, "We got to get out of here. These things are eating us." I don't care how much DEET you have or whatever, they're terrible.
We're going to deter people from ever thinking about walking. We've talked about
those are the
foot
challenges.
Problems. We talked about mosquitoes, but I just want to say that. This
it's all
year,
worth it.
My little taste of the PCT, and as I was telling you earlier, I did 150 miles down in the southern part of the trail. The flowers were unparalleled. It was magnificent.
This was the year.
It was the year.
In the Anza Borrego,
it was really extraordinary.
Anza Borrego Wilderness.
So.
Oh, I guess our friend Emily is here, so that's good.
We'll be able to talk a little bit more about all the exciting things going on with the Bay Trail and maybe the Trail Summit and even the Bay Trail Fund.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about our new let's wait till Emily gets in, but I could rhapsodize further about the PCT. Have you ever thought about doing the Continental Divide Trail?
No, and if I did, I wouldn't mention it publicly. I hear because my wife might be listening.
That's a trail that's somewhat, it's kind of like the PCT was 30 years ago or something. There's some places you're bushwhacking and you're just going between blazes, but there's a lot of YouTubes. That's just it, too. If you want to see what it's like on the PCT, the CDT, the Appalachian Trail, go on YouTube, and you'll see a lot of through hikers who've documented their hikes and all the foibles and all the great things. You know, one of the other things that actually it's a major component of appeal for me for the trails is the people that you meet. They are just absolutely wonderful. When you're out in the middle of nowhere and you meet somebody, well, what'll amaze you is you'll meet people from Arcata. And you'll meet people. The very first night I was out, I met two people you know.
Yeah.
And then where was I? Oh, yeah, I had just come down from the trail. And I was up, it's the Mount Whitney portal.
Yes.
Going down to Lone Pine, uh-huh. I came off the trail and I went into the campground. It was the 4th of July. There was absolutely nobody in the campground. I was hoping to thumb a ride down. That's the other thing. You stick out your thumb, magically a car will come along. Well, anyway, that's what happened. So there was nobody in the campground. I saw two people, but they were headed up to the trail. And I go, "You guys aren't headed to town." They go, "Yeah, but tomorrow we're going to camp out tonight." I go, "Okay." And so I went down by the road and the trailhead, and I stuck my thumb out. 20 minutes later, here comes an SUV. It's them. And they're like, "Oh, we felt sorry for you." So we drove down. They dropped me off in Lone Pine. But on the way, I found out that they were totally friends of some people I know in Arcata.
Trail magic.
Yeah, Sadiq Kilkenny. They were friends.
Oh, Sadiq. I have to say one other thing before we introduce Emily. But I hiked to the top of Mount Whitney some years ago and went up for sunrise. And at the top, there were about 15 people. Out of the 15 people, myself from Arcata, there was a father and son from Arcata, there was a student from HSU from Arcata. This, everybody was independent, and there was a guy that was an EMT living in Arcata.
Yeah.
All independent. So out of 15, I think it speaks a lot to Humboldt County.
It does. And one of the best things about being in the backcountry is when you meet people, you're 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles from anything. And you just, you know, you all have the same needs. You just want water. You know, where's the water? Where's the campground? Or where's this? Or I saw a bear a mile ago. Whatever. I mean, it's just great. And all this urban tension is gone. And you just make such great friends. You have great conversations. 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911. Text 492-KHSU. Surely there's something you have wondered about trails. And we have the folks here to address your interests, including the great Emily Sinkhorn, who's here. Hi, Emily.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're glad to have you here. This is Thursday Night Talk. We're talking trails. So maybe this is a good time to talk about our wonderful new trail, which is in progress right now, the new Humboldt Bay Trail North, which is extends from sort of the Arcata Marsh and Wildlife Sanctuary, actually a little bit north of that at Samoa Boulevard, down to Break Hut. And boy, oh boy, I got a call today from a guy all excited calling from the marsh. Man, they're just ripping this place apart and putting it back together. You got to come down and take a picture. Ah! And I said, well, we kind of did that, but we'll keep track of it, which we're doing on a semi-weekly basis. But we have a wonderful new trail here, which we've wanted for so long. Can you guys talk, Emily?
I've been doing all the talking. Other than Kevin.
Well, you've been sounding great. There's been lots of good things going
on. Humboldt Bay Trail North. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a culmination of decades of so many people and so many groups.
And so many lawsuits.
Just so much energy. And I think, fortunately, a lot of things have come together to make it a reality. And, you know, this Bay Trail North is a key segment to complete from Arcata to Eureka. And what's exciting also is that the city of Arcata has a great existing trail that it will connect to. So from Samoa Boulevard north up to Foster Avenue. And they're even looking to go further north after that. So it'll be a great way to connect through town and to get to visit local businesses, get to school, get to work. And the Bay Trail is also just going to be an amazing way to connect to the bay and for lots of wildlife viewing. And even just the segment from Samoa Boulevard through the marsh and to Break Hut will really assist with commuting between Arcata and Eureka. That will take off a good couple miles of being on the highway. And then we'll work on connecting the piece to Eureka, which the county is currently doing.
It'll happen because if we could do this, we can do that.
I want to mention, too, though, not to short shrift Eureka, but Eureka is doing some exciting things on the extension of the waterfront trail from Del Norte Street all the way to Tidd Street. And there'll be about 600 feet of elevated walkway through the wetlands there. And they broke ground in early April. And there's noticeable progress there as well. So the 13 miles, if you consider it, of the Bay Trail from Larson Park all the way to Elk River on the end, by sometime this fall, all but 4 miles of that 13 will be complete.
Wow.
And one of the things I really like is that this trail system is really going to help connect all of us back to the bay and the different kind of unique parts of the waterfront, especially the Eureka waterfront. Right now, if you go down to Waterfront Drive and along Railroad Avenue, you can see the construction actively happening. And that section is really neat because it goes through the industrial working waterfront, and to really see that Eureka is still a real like waterfront and forest products place. And then you'll get to see Eureka Slough on the northern end, which there's really hardly any public access. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the one place where you can get across 101 underneath 101. So there will be an underpass. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited about that because mm-hmm. anytime you're walking or biking, it's not fun mm-hmm. to cross 101, 4th or 5th or Broadway. So this will be a great place to then eventually help other neighborhoods in the Myrtletown area and northwest or northeast Eureka connect to the bay as well. And,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, today was Bike to Work Day in Eureka, and I was thinking about how many years we've said, hey, we're getting closer to a connected bay trail, and it was really exciting today to say, hey, you can see the construction 200 feet away, because it's happening.
Yeah, now the Humboldt Bay Trail North, is that a rail trail, or is it just parallel to the tracks, or...?
It's a rail with trail.
Okay.
So the pathway of the trail will be adjacent to the current railroad.
So the railroad could, at least in theory, be restored.
Yeah. Or it may be using speeders or something like that.
Yeah. Those bridges are pretty precarious, but I understand we have five new bridges. Dina McCullough of McCullough Construction told me we have five new bridges coming in.
Although those will be for the trail.
Yeah, the Humboldt Bay Trail North. Yeah. And it's pretty darn exciting. Thursday Night Talk, we're talking trails. We have Reese Hughes and Emily Sinkhorn here, two trailmeisters. And 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911, or text your question or comment to 492-KHSU. I'm Kevin Hoover, editor-at-large of the Mad River Union. So, tell us more about the Humboldt Bay Trail North. I mean, this is the culminate. It's a $5 million deal, and it was accomplished through grants, which are still coming through somehow. So it's really just wonderful. Now, once this is constructed, will this be something that volunteers go out and maintain?
Yes, it will. In fact, we are in the process. It's sort of a more complicated story because the final 4 miles that exist really are going to be and really important for us to show that we have a broad base of community support to secure construction money for that. And part of the effort that Emily and I have been involved in recently is to create a Bay Trail Fund, which will be an endowment that will be used to support volunteer trail initiatives and doing maintenance and support of the trail. So,
how does one participate in that? Do you have a GoFundMe or something? Or?
Yeah, so there's
bigger than that.
There's a couple opportunities. The main being that there will be a trail summit coming up on Saturday, June 3rd. And that will be a great way to celebrate and learn about the current status of the Humboldt Bay Trail North and Eureka Waterfront Trail. But it will also be the launch of the Humboldt Bay Trail Fund.
Let's get into that a little bit later because we have Jared on the line from Fieldbrook, I believe. Hi, Jared.
Oh, actually, he wrote it on Facebook.
Oh,
he... So I will be reading that.
And, okay, this is Michael, our engineer.
Yes, thanks, Jared, for writing into us. And he was curious about Native American trails, specifically if there was any information on trails that we hike on that may have usurped any Native American trails.
Well, I think there is so much rich knowledge, both in on a lot of our local tribes. And, you know, a reality is that for a lot of places that we travel, whether by foot or rolling or by car, were transportation corridors for very, very long time before any white settlers were here. So thinking about Old Arcata Road was the way to get around the bay because all of the marshland to the west of there was bay and marshland. So there's probably a lot more that that we really even don't know about. But it's great that a lot of that that important knowledge exists within local tribes.
Jared, if you know of any Native American-oriented trails, be sure and post that information. Maybe Reese will put it in Volume 3 of his book. So, 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911, or 492-KHSU for your texts, or Facebook us a question. We don't really care. So the Trails Summit, this is going to be a big trail wingding, and it's coming up Saturday, June 3rd. What is involved with this?
It's the second annual, and really it's a time for us to tell the community a little bit about the progress on local trails. And while the focus this year is on the Bay Trail, last year we really highlighted a number of the trails that are happening in Humboldt County. This particular year, as Emily mentioned, we will be rolling out the Bay Trail Fund, which will be a fund that we are in the process of developing now that can be used to support the Humboldt Bay Trail in its entirety. And it'll be an endowment used to support the maintenance of the trail, through volunteer efforts. We also will prioritize emergency funds if there are emergency repairs that are needed, and some small capital expenditures could be some signage or lighting in special areas, and then being used potentially as a match for getting larger, leveraging it to use to get larger money.
And I think one of the main important reasons that this Humboldt Bay Trail Fund has been founded is, fortunately, our local jurisdictions have been excellent at receiving grant funds from state sources and other sources to construct these new trails. But there is not that sort of funding pots available for maintenance. And so one of the main reasons that we really need to kind of show community support from us here locally is so that local jurisdictions can continue to expand our regional trail system. We know that there is not that much funding for filling the potholes on one street. Well, we also know that also really affects the bottom line for ensuring that we can expand our trail system. The county, a couple years ago calculated they spend about $5,000 per year, per mile on the Hammond Trail. And so if we're expanding for a bay trail that's 13 miles long, it's a significant amount of resources. And so, local residents and can really support this effort by both being involved in volunteer efforts of maintenance, but then also contributing to this fund.
We were fortunate enough to get a $25,000 initial seed money from Eureka Natural Foods, Rick Littlefield and his wife, Betty. And I think that's helped us get moving on this project. And we've been trying to generate funds from an original set of founding donors. And we'll be pursuing that through the entirety of 2017.
Now, did we say how people can participate in that, or...?
We are working under the auspices of the Humboldt Area Foundation,
of course.
And so it is tax deductible, and it will be donations can be made through their website.
Okay, so if only just a mild lament here, if only trails were subsidized to the extent that our internal combustion-oriented modes of transportation were, maybe someday their value will be recognized. I'd also point out that at this point, you can, if you want to, get from one end of Arcata to another on trails, either up in the forest or on the lower lying lands. You can take the Arcata Ridge Trail, the Fickle Hill Crossing isn't quite together yet, but apart from that, yeah, you can actually walk along, you can take the scenic route, go the Beeth Creek Loop up to the Ridge Trail, get to Fickle Hill Road, which I've actually done. I don't think you're supposed to go across the Humphrey easement yet. Yeah, mm-hmm. But beyond that, once you're in the Arcata Community Forest, yeah, you can go all the way to West End Road, pop out there.
Yeah.
In fairness to Caltrans, we probably ought to say that they've been a wonderful partner in the Bay Trail initiatives. And so I think they've really done a good job of trying to broaden their focus and include some of the non-motorized efforts to provide equitable transportation options.
People may not know, Caltrans stands for California Department of Transportation, not California Department of Freeways or anything like that. So, yes, and yeah, kudos to them. I mean, they spoke at the groundbreaking to the Humboldt Bay Trail North and everything. So, yeah, props to them for widening their horizons there, as it were. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's talk more about the Trail Summit. So we didn't say where it is. It's Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 10 at the Warfinger Building. And the program looks rather varied.
Yeah, definitely rather varied. One exciting thing that we had last year that will be happening this year as well is there'll be a lot of local organizations that actively support or manage trails, including the BLM and local land trusts. And so you can find out more about trails throughout the county and how to get involved. So it's great to have all of those participants. Then we'll have updates and sort of celebrations from Eureka and Arcata. And then the county, Hank Seaman, will give an overview of kind of how we can connect the final 4 miles from Braycut to Eureka. And then you can take a walking tour with City of Eureka staff of the ongoing construction that will be happening right out the front door of the Warfinger.
Wow. So, yeah, 10 o'clock to 10:30, open house and refreshments. 10:30 to 11:30, the program. 11:30 to noon, the open house and walking tour. And, yeah, program topics are Humble Bay Trail progress and updates, unveiling of the Humble Bay Trail logo. And, wow, I can't wait to see that. Can we say who the artist is or...
you know,
a top secret?
Carol Vandermeer's been working on that, and I know
that. I think
that
that'll all be unveiled at the summit.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be lovely. Launch of Humble Bay Trail Fund and open house with trail supporting orgs. So for more information, visit Facebook, Humboldt Trails Council, and you have a whole raft of very prestigious supporters here. Dennis Rail's been big on this from Los Bagels.
Yes.
He's huge. And Eureka Natural Foods and many others. So, yeah, trail.
Yeah.
Humble Trail Summit, once again, it's Saturday, June 3rd, so that's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the Warfinger Building. Be there. Starts at 10 o'clock. This is Thursday Night Talk. We're talking trails with Emily Sinkhorn and Reese Hughes. Emily.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I always tend to focus on is how excited we are to really connect our community and help connect to the natural areas around the Bay. But these... completed regional trail system really has been shown to have huge economic impacts in other communities. And so just thinking about Over the Hill and Redding, and even, Redding has an extensive trail system, and it's a destination for people of all ages and abilities to go to the Sundial Bridge and head north on these beautiful paved trails. And this Bay Trail is really going to be that focal point for, especially if people escaping the heat in the Central Valley and elsewhere and coming over to the coast and visiting local businesses, riding on the trails. And I think that we're going to really see those positive impacts in the coming years.
That was one of the selling points for the Arcata Ridge Trail back when we were doing Baton Rouge fundraisers, is that, we sometimes need to attract talent to our area. And one of the things is, do you have nice trails? Can folks either commute or use them for fitness or recreation? And now we can say, yes, we do have that, you executive person being lured up here.
I think they're not so different than libraries and schools.
Indeed.
I mean, I think it's a quality of life question and exactly the kind of thing that we can tout.
It's true, too, because just last week some folks came to our office in Jacoby Storehouse. I think it used to be the Chamber of Commerce or something, and somehow people, maybe it's on some old list or something, but people come and they say, where's a good trail? They did. Mm-hmm. Some folks came in, where's somewhere we can park and go hike? And they ended up picking the Hammond Trail because
mm-hmm.
They could park their RV up at the Ray's Food Place or something and then go down School Road to the trail on their bikes and use it. So, yeah, people come here for the trails, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're talking about trails. It's Thursday Night Talk. I'm Kevin with Reese and Emily. So we've talked about some local trails. We've talked about the PCT, a little bit about the CDT. The one trail we haven't talked about is the one you have featured in this rolled-up map here, which Michael Kaufman is also big on, and that's the Bigfoot Trail, which, do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Well, I should defer to Emily because she has walked it. But
that's
I will say that it's 360 miles long,
yeah,
basically from Crescent City to the Yola Bolis through the Marbles and Trinities and some of our most amazing landscape in the North Coast.
I went to a very entertaining movie a couple months ago called The Squatchalypse Now, which you were in, Emily, and it was very nice. So,
Emily, I defer to you.
Yeah, well, the Bigfoot Trail really celebrates the biodiversity and diverse geology of the Klamath Mountains. And so for many years, that's been my favorite place to go wander and look at interesting plants and be actually outside in really cool places above the tree line and not see anyone. And so it was very exciting to then, with all the work that Michael Kaufman put together, to really connect a lot of existing trails through national forest lands and wilderness and roadwalks to really make a continuous 360-mile walk. And it continues to be improved through the stewardship of the Bigfoot Trail Association and other groups. But what is really exciting to me was it's a relatively a long distance hiking trail in our backyard here in Humboldt. And so it's accessible to go on a 3-day backpack or day hikes and get to see some really unique locations not too far away. And another thing is really, if you're looking for more of an isolated experience, this was highly recommended. And get to see a beautiful, beautiful country in the Siskiyous and Red Buttes. A lot of the existing routes are in great shape, and there's some sections that are very difficult. And what's helpful is there is a new map set that has recently been released from the Bigfoot Trail Association. You can find that on the Bigfoot Trail Alliance website.
Isn't about 70 miles of it the PCT?
Not quite that much.
Yeah, but yeah.
No. Yeah, but there is part of it that's the PCT.
Through the marble, the marbles.
And then there's other parts that I gather are kind of like the CDT in that they're sort of bushwhacky a little bit and you have to kind of navigate.
Yeah, definitely both in the north and in the south. So in sections of the Yolabolis and in sections of the Siskiyous, after kind of post-fire shrub encroachment has made for a lot of wading through very prickly shrubs. But fortunately, a lot of trail work will be hopefully happening this summer. We've had a big snow year, so it might take a little bit longer to get volunteer crews in there to do some work. But fortunately, we've had great support from the National Forest and local organizations to do a lot of that trail work to make the trail more accessible and probably more fun through those sections to hike.
And some sections are historical, like miners' trails.
The old Kelsey Trail, certainly.
Which have been sort of patched together to become this.
Well, included in it, but it's also deteriorated a great deal, and I think that's one of the areas that Emily's referred to as an area in need of TLC. This whole trail has been featured recently in Backpacker magazine, so we've sort of made the big time, and I think our goal ultimately is to petition to have it be considered a national recreational trail.
Yay, I'm sure it'll happen. We have a question from Mike, which I think you're going to read. Michael's going to read.
I am, yes. Thanks, Mike, for calling that in. It's an off-air request. The question is, now that we've had the Hammond Trail for so many years, what lessons have we learned, and how can we apply them going forward? And he kind of went into the pushback from the landowners and how now everybody really loves the trail.
Right. So you have to get either easements, and you're going past a lot of people's backyards sometimes. They don't necessarily like that disruption or the new thing. And so what have we learned about establishing that?
I would say, the county started working on securing the Hammond Trail corridor back in the late 70s. And at that time, there really wasn't a lot of things to point to of other rural areas that had a similar, rail corridor, because that was a former rail corridor. And so I think the big thing is just seeing the positive feedback from people in McKinleyville, and even just looking at houses to rent or purchase, they're like, close walking distance to the Hammond Trail. It is seen as like the asset to be near in McKinleyville. And so I think that is the biggest lesson, and has really, really supported then other trails moving forward.
I'd say another lesson is that community volunteers can make a huge difference in the maintenance and support of the trail. And the Hammond was our first site for the volunteer trail stewards. And it has continued to be now 5 years later, something that we do monthly. And it makes a huge difference. We have some volunteers that put in as much as 30 hours a month out mowing the trail, getting rid of graffiti. It's really been adopted and embraced by a number of the community members in that area.
I would think another is having multiple access points and trailheads, because you can choose if you're going to get on the trail at Clam Beach, or this time I think I'll go to the Murray Road to start. And that not only makes it more accessible from neighborhoods, but also just for choosing what length of a walk is good for you that day.
And by the way, it's not just walking. I mean, a lot of these trails, with some exceptions, are also for equestrians and bicyclists as well.
Wheelchairs.
Lots of ways.
You know, one other thing that I think has been really in evidence is just how much a high-quality trail gets used. There's never a time when you don't see a lot of people of varying ages, abilities, mixed groups out walking that trail.
That's fantastic. I enjoyed. Now, everybody's hiking style is different, and some people really want the isolation. When I was on the PCT, there were people who wouldn't say hello back to me, and I respect that. There are folks who use the trail, the PCT and other long-distance trails, who really want that solitude, and they will camp off trail. They don't go anywhere near where other people are, and they're really on their own little meditative journey, and that's fantastic. Me, I like other hikers. I like camping with like six or eight other tents and just learning and sharing stories and the general scene. But I was more social than others. In fact, when I had to camp alone, I kind of felt cheated a little bit. I'm like, it was ironic. I'm not the only person who calls myself the world's worst backpacker. There's a few other people who do that too. But my last days on the PCT, I was doing everything wrong. I mean, I wanted to hang out with folks, and I'd look around, set up my tent, and then nobody. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so then the morning I'd get up, pack up, go, and a half mile down I'd see this whole village of tents. But it wasn't where there was a bear box and water. It was just some random place. And I'm like, why? Well, I don't know. But anyway. It depends. Whatever you want to do. If you want solitude, go. If you want to be with folks, there's no shortage of folks on the PCT. We were talking about that, how many more people there are these days.
Right. I call it the wild effect from the movie.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, there's still time to get another question. 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911, or text it using your fancy newfangled telephone machine to 492-KHSU. What have we not talked about? What salient points need to be... You know, one of the things about hiking is, I don't know, you could go into anything. You could go into speed metal bands, or you could go into motorcycles. But if you go into hiking, you've got a whole culture there. It's ready. It's rich. And there's just a whole world of stuff to learn and people to meet. And
let's talk about a couple of trails that people might want to think about going out and exploring right now.
Right now.
This is a wonderful time of the year, and some they might not have thought about. And I might include in that the azaleas are going to be coming out very soon in all of their glory. And I would encourage you to either consider going up to Stagecoach Hill, the Azalea Preserve up above Big Lagoon off of Kane Road. That's one option. Another option is the Azalea Reserve, the State Azalea Reserve that's in McKinleyville off of North Bank Road.
Yeah, yeah.
And both involve short walks, but the azaleas are wonderful. Another one that people can go after work, take an easy walk, won't see azaleas, but is go to Chigacho on the south side of McKinleyville. And Emily's been involved with that because it's been done through the McKinleyville Land Trust.
Yeah, that's a new, you can get about 3/4 of a mile walk, and it's great because it's right near a lot of neighborhoods, and it has, to me, one of the most beautiful overlooks of the Mad River and the Bottoms, and one of the best overlooks from McKinleyville on the southwest side. So it's right behind Kmart and the Health Sport in McKinleyville, and you can get to it off of School Road to Betty Court.
You know, Center Activities, I believe, here at Humboldt State has some hikes. I think they have some introductions to backpacking and equipment you can check out. But with Center Activities, I did the Lost Coast many years ago, Lost Coast, which was wonderful. And then there's also Humboldt Redwood State Park. I've hiked up to Grasshopper Peak a couple times and backpack up there. Yeah. It's a little strenuous, but it's nothing
you can do. Those are a little more ambitious walks, certainly.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people don't think about it, but the Sinquion, which is technically just outside of Humboldt County and Mendocino County, but accessible only through Humboldt County, is a really special place this time of the year. The coastal plateau there is magnificent, going down from the visitor center down to Bear Harbor.
Another great one is up at Redwood National State Parks. You can go park your car and take the James Irvine Trail right out to Fern Canyon. And that's a nice, relatively level walk. I remember years ago, Steve Lau, do you know Steve?
I don't know Steve.
He was active with the establishment of Redwood National Park. But he used to have they used to do these interpretive hikes where you would go up to, I think, Schoolhouse Peak. Yeah, and then we'd hike down to Redwood Creek, and with all of our stuff inside of our backpacks, double packed in heavy-duty hefty bags, we'd literally float for 2 days or three days down the creek and just see all the wondrous sights along the way.
You mentioned Schoolhouse Peak. Schoolhouse Peak, Lions Ranch, Bald Hills Road, wonderful area to see Lupin. I'm going to go up on Saturday, and it's magnificent this time of the year.
I can't hear Lupins without thinking of the Monty Python skit, Dennis Moore. He thought that you were supposed to steal lupins and give them to the poor. Well, anyway, okay. I remember we went on one of those hikes. We parked up at Schoolhouse Peak, went on our three-day hike, then we were driven back to the car up there. Somebody had left a banana in the car. It had been in the sun for 3 days, and a bear smell. And the bear had actually pulled the car door off. Well, almost. Bears, they're really smart in what they do, which is gather food. So that's why they're so easy to get along with in the outback. It just makes a noise. They run away. But this bear decided, nah, too many calories expended in ripping this car door off. I give up. But he actually, or she, bent it out to get to this banana. So,
yeah, another set of new hikes I'd like to mention are Lax Creek. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't know those are new trails that go along Pine Ridge. There are older trails that also exist out in Lax Creek area, but they're great for mountain bikes, but also great for walking with great views from Pine Ridge out over as far as the ocean. And it's really just 45 minutes from Arcata.
And a lot of the BLM and the Redwood Coast Mountain Bike Association have done a lot of great work on the trails up there.
They really have, yeah.
And also with a lot of oak woodland restoration.
Yes.
So it's a great place, in addition to the Bald Hills, to see some really thriving oak woodland ecosystems.
If you're looking for ideas, just grab Reese's book, Hiking Humboldt, Volume 2. It's got a nice brown cover with some nice photos of hikers and walkers, and just a wonderful-looking trail. And if you look in the table of contents, you've got, Humboldt County, Redwood National State Parks, Trinidad, Urban Corridor, Arcata, Indianola Road North, Urban Corridor, Eureka, Fortuna, Rio Del. You really covered Humboldt, Southern Redwoods, King Range, Shelter Cove. There is a hike in here for you if you're just getting started on this. Give it a shot. My advice would be go try the Arcata Community Forest or the Sunnybrae Tract. Park up on Margaret Lane by the water tank and just stroll on in. In fact, actually, Jada, who I work with, she tried that the other day. She went to Beath Creek, and it was just simply wonderful. To me, that's kind of like a mini Sierra sort of a thing.
It's wonderful. I mean, it has an aerobic feature to it you're going to work up a sweat on the east side of that walk, and it's you feel lost immediately in the midst of the woods.
Yeah, but the trail is very well marked.
Yes,
you can't really get lost. I mean, there's this.
I mean, you just feel like you're far away from Arcata.
And then every once in a while, you'll pop out into where there's a vista, and you can sort of see the bay and the freeway and stuff. And you go, I'm not really that far from home. So, so we have, I think what we've established here tonight is we have vast hiking riches, and there's places to do everything from have a little day hike to a multi-day camping trip. There's ways to volunteer and help build trails and meet all the awesome people and eat burritos in the woods.
Ways to support trails financially
and
with your energy and your talents, but also ways, as you said, to enjoy our wonderful county.
And two, actually, events coming up. Don't forget about the Trails Summit. That's Saturday, June 3rd at the Warfinger Building, starting at 10 o'clock. It'll be instant immersion in the trail culture. You're going to love it, I promise you. And actually, the event that I just came from the kickoff for, which is totally unrelated, the Oyster Festival. Congratulations to Arcata Main Street. They have a really great event lined up for June 17th on the plaza. No fences, just oysters and oyster folks and kids and happy people. So, yeah, Emily.
And if you're looking for ways to kind of stay more up to date on trail progress and needs, you can go to the Humboldt Trails Council Facebook page and send a message to be added to more of a bi-monthly email updates. And that's also a place to find more information about the Trail Summit and likely links for the volunteer trail stewards.
Okay. Well, thank you, Emily Sinkhorn and Reese Hughes. Thank you, Michael Kaufman, for doing what you do. Also, thanks to Mike from Off Air and Jared from Facebook and Michael, our engineer. I'm Kevin Hoover. This has been Thursday Night Talk on Trails. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Thank you to our host, Kevin Hoover, and to our guests, Reese Hughes and Emily Sinkhorn. We love to get feedback on our programs. Please email thursdaynighttalk@khsu.org and like our Facebook page, Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Brenda Starr is our host next week on Thursday Night Talk. Thanks to our Thursday Night Talk producer, Geraldine Goldberg. Our theme music is composed and performed by Jeff Kreider. My name is Michael. I've been your studio engineer tonight. Stay tuned to KHSU. No Room for Squares is coming up next. It's 8 o'clock.
Despite President Trump's rhetoric about Saudi Arabia on the campaign,